Welcome back to Quest to the Core. I'm Simone.
And I'm Jonna. And today is a different kind of conversation. This is our final episode of season one. And instead of exploring a new leadership topic, we're turning the lens inward.
Because we realized that leading this podcast became our own leadership lab. Every model we talked about, taught, every framework we explored, every messy moment we described showed up for us in real time.
And we really didn't plan it that way. We really talked about it just being a conversation between the two of us, but that's exactly what happened.
So for you, Jonna, when did it kind of hit you that this podcast was also going to grow us, not just our listeners?
Well, at first, we're talking about this framework and how to share leadership concepts inside of this core framework. But I think somewhere early on, between maybe like the listening episode or intent versus impact, I realized that we weren't just like exploring these concepts. We were actually confronting some of our own challenges with these concepts and started really having more offline conversations about our challenges, but also shared with our listeners as well. How about you?
Yeah, you know, we started it out like for me, this, we're going to teach these things. And there was this, like the first four or five episodes really were inside of that. Just here's the information. I'm going to be stiff and talk about the information. And then there was just this shift in language from rather than talking about it to actually being inside of it. And I think episode five was a real clear shift for me that I just started to be more open. And just sharing what my own vulnerabilities were. And I think that's the first time I started sharing about the podcast. And it was great because it was the episode on reflection. So I was reflecting on, so I was doing the homework for myself, reflecting on what the journey had been. And I shared the reflection on the recording, and I became more of actually living leadership rather than talking about it, teaching about it. So I think that was really the first big shift for me.
Well, thinking back to the early weeks, what was that moment when you realized, man, this is a lot harder than we had anticipated?
I think so. We were recording the intro episode because we had to explain and tell about, like, that was, you know, what did we do? What did we sign up for? And that this is hard, trying to figure out sound and the equipment, and, you know, how do I not sound stupid? Like, it got hard because it's just such a different medium that, you know, it's you and I having a conversation that people are eavesdropping on. And so that the first five episodes or so, I think, were I was sitting in and dwelling in, oh, this is hard, and feeling a little sorry for myself because it was hard. What about you?
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, sit and ask, and they're like, well, how do you come up with the topics? How do you guys, you know, really talk? And I was like, that's the easy part.
Yes, that is the easy part.
That is the easy part, for sure. All of the workings behind putting together a podcast and understanding our limitations and figuring out how do we make this to the level at which we want to put it out there at, I think, is been more of a challenge. And as we have a conversation, there's always more that we want to do to continue to elevate it. And so the other piece of it, I think, is that whole switch of we're not just having those conversations or producing content, but that we are being vulnerable and sharing and how we're practicing it and maybe not doing it as well as we should, I think, is a little element to that as well.
Well, you know, we thought we were just starting this project because we had this great content. People told us that they liked hearing us talk and sharing what we knew, but didn't realize that we were the experiment. Like, I didn't. And
yeah,
Everything we talked about just showed up in the production of the podcast and in the creation of the content, the editing, the marketing. It all just showed up. And I think the more vulnerable I was in sharing with you, and then allowing some of that to come into the podcast as well, it became less about instruction and more about the transformation, which there is some irony to that, because that's what we wanted. We wanted to share with people that being a leader is a journey of being. It's not just a checklist of things to do. So it is absolutely hilarious to me that I didn't realize how much of that would be happening for us in front of the microphone, and not only just behind the scenes, but actually living it out loud for our listeners as well.
Yeah, in real time. I love the way that you phrased it as an experiment, right, in our own leadership. I know I've mentioned several times, and it was probably episode 6 or 7 when, even in our planning session, I was like, you realize this is our IDP. This is our own individualized development plan, and did not even have a notion that this is what it's going to transpire into.
Yeah, because starting this journey, like, we were the architects. We were the guides for the journey, like a Sherpa. And, you know, when you're that already knows it, they're not necessarily learning along the way. And that's what I related to myself as, like, yeah, we're these Sherpas, you know. So with that, that's where that instructional tone came in. But then my voice started to shift to be a bit much more dimensional. And like, I heard both of ours, like, we were both these parallel kind of narrators and explainers and instructors. And then I think, you know, after 6, 7, it started to shift to being more of a co-creator.
That we weren't just like teaching these concepts, that we were living mm-hmm. them out. And the microphone became part of a tool mm-hmm. for our own leadership development, which I think is kind of a cool concept.
It is. I'm used to telling about it, not having it live in front of people. Like, here's what I'm learning, and here's some of the messiness inside of it. But I think that as I was doing that, the more I did that, the more real it became for me. Because it has been a while since I've been in a classroom or a development opportunity, but not in this, hey, here's this lab, here's this experiment, and let's just let everybody watch our case study, which is what it feels like. We're in this little snow globe, and what are John and Simone doing this week in the snow globe? What'd they learn?
Exactly. And I feel like the microphone is the, when you shake it up, right? The snow that falls, that's kind of the mechanism. Mm-hmm. But if you could go back to week one, us, what would you warn us about?
That's a great question. I don't know if there is, I don't have a warning. I have a comment just to enjoy the process of it and appreciate the process of it.
I think that's a great one.
Yeah. How about you?
I think for me, it's to get even more curious. And I know that mm-hmm. sounds really odd coming from me, who is...
No, it's standard, I guess.
But I think to get more curious about mm-hmm. what we get confronted by in these topics. And I know in our planning sessions, we share probably way... Obviously, we share way more than we do mm-hmm. when we push the live version out. But I think to get more curious about what confronts us with our habits and our inner mm-hmm. voice and how vulnerable we are, and how that curiosity can really take us to just another level.
You know, I don't know if it's a warning that I would give myself or give us. It would be a comment. And that is, living it on the microphone is what is going to resonate with people. Don't take care of it all and put it in a pretty package and then present it. Just live it on the recording. And that's where they're going to resonate with that. The messiness of it. And it'll be more real for us if we do that, rather than trying to put it in a pretty little package and to say, well, here, this happened, and then here's what I learned from it, and here's been the impact on me. Like, no, like, really on, like, in the moment. Because I think that, you know, after probably, like, I don't know, maybe episode 18-ish, when we were revisiting the core, at that point, I feel like our learning started happening in the recording, not just in our pre-conversations.
Well, I loved the fact that this season not only pushed us outside of our comfort zone from the very beginning of, like, holy crap, we're starting a podcast, but really pushed us into a growth that neither one of us had intended or planned or even conceptualized. And for me, finding that I'm able to extend my reach, I'm able to offer development and growth in front of people, but with people, really allows me to be fulfilled.
I loved the learning new things, and like that part of it has been great, but hearing the impact that it's had on other people has been a little bit shocking for me. I was confronted a lot this season, as I've shared, you know, about a lot of different things, because I am used to mastery, you know, things coming easy, or me making it look like it's come easy to me, and the podcasting thing didn't. Learning the technical skill, learning the technology, the software. And I'm usually good at learning those kind of things, but putting it all in a package in an area that I just wasn't familiar with, it just really pushed me into territories where my learning wasn't polished. I couldn't put it in a pretty little bow. And so the episode on emotional agility was a great turning point for me, because learning the concepts inside of that and really applying that to myself, I think really helped me in this whole learning process with podcasting, because of that pause and that space. I exercise that more than I ever have before. And I think putting the language to it really helped me. I grew a lot with that, and just really shifting what my view of mastery is. So, because I got my confidence in mastery. I always thought mastery was the pinnacle. You build mastery in something. But this podcast has really shifted my view of that. Like, I don't think that's really the pinnacle. Yes, it is a goal, because I've learned a lot in pursuing mastery and different skills and capabilities, and because it helps me to be confident. But it's this whole concept of fluency. And so fluency in my own self-awareness, rather than being masterful, like leadership mastery. It's made up of fluency, of being self-aware, emotional agility and intelligence, being more fluent in that, or having a fluency in it. So that's, as you hear, as I'm talking, I'm like grappling with that evolution for myself that, you know, before we began this podcast, if you told me that I would shift my view on mastery, like, no, I won't. I will not, because that is what everybody's got to pursue, mastery. And that's where you land, is in mastery. And like, no, there's something beyond mastery. And I think that's where I'm beginning to swim around in.
Well, I think for me, really the part of being vulnerable and being seen, I know we've talked about my inner voice, and I'm just average.
Yeah.
And
yes,
I know.
Yes. Yeah. Donna's just average.
When I say that, I get that reaction, and and people are shocked by that. I actually sharing that and, you know, saying this is the raw me. This is really where I'm navigating from, I think has been a huge growth opportunity, because I, just as you, I want to have a polished best version mastery and be seen as that, and to share internally what goes on has been a huge growth for me.
Yeah, I would say, like, watching and participating and co-creating, that was a big pivotal part for you to be willing to share that with listeners. Definitely appreciate your vulnerability with that. And I think in that moment, that may be the moment where some of our dynamics, the partnership, started to shift a little bit as well too, because I saw how they connected, you know, where you were not going to get the published bound copy of your PhD, because for you it didn't matter, but for me, I got one for my master's thesis because it was proof that I was good enough. And yours was, I don't need it because I'm just average.
That was a 3-ring binder, would have been fine.
I know that, but that I think is just a phenomenal example of our inner narratives and how they do work well together. Like, they complement each other, and we, you know, figured that out on air. And so, just like, I would not have expected that at the beginning of this journey.
Same.
Yeah. So, and I think that kind of leads to one of my biggest lessons, I think, through this is our partnership. Like, not just the whole polished type of a partnership, me being masterful, you being masterful. The learning that we've done, the friction that some of the learning has brought up for us individually, but then willing to discover that together and explore it together,
Well, I ditto that and really do appreciate the partnership that we do have. And I think about those moments where we've coached each other without even trying, or maybe even the other person realizing or acknowledging. Maybe not so. I think we've acknowledged that, like, okay, this is a coaching moment for me. I get that. But really just through the way we've listened or asked questions, even in the middle of episodes, where seeing the aha moment for you with a concept coming together, or for myself listening to a way that you have brilliantly put something together that has really challenged the way that maybe I think about something.
Yeah. Where do you think some of our differences became strengths along the way that maybe you didn't recognize before?
That's a great question. So for me, I tell people this all the time. I love your perspective because it is different than mine, even though it's almost parallel, right? Because I do think that we look at things in a similar way, but I do think that your perspective is different, which I appreciate that, adding a piece of the pie that I would not necessarily even think about. So I do think that that allows us to talk about these concepts in such a unique way that if we were completely aligned on how we thought about things, then we would really just be saying the same things as opposed to really challenging ourselves, but then also the listeners. What about you?
I think that's similar for me because I think I become better when I've got that type of a connection with someone that will add to or share a different perspective than what I have, because I think my perspective becomes richer.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm truly grateful for the space that you create, because I do feel like our space when we have conversations that I can not, or I feel like I don't always have to be as polished as I want to be, and I can make a mistake and it's okay. And for me, that's huge because there are very few people in my life that I put my guard down for and allow that to happen. So for me, you creating that space allows me to bring a better version of myself to our conversations.
Yeah, and then we decided just to tape it all.
Exactly. For the world to hear.
Yeah, sure. Just come on in. Watch our growth.
Exactly.
But I think that's really what it's turned into, is that, and that's where this whole, grappling with this concept of fluency versus mastery, that I really am learning in real time in these conversations. And I think that is probably one of the biggest lessons for our listeners to take away, is that what we're doing, and then like whenever we're teaching a class or we're hosting classes or putting people through development, that's what we want them to do as well too, is to bring their whole selves and actually work on it in that lab. And that's what we are truly doing. And we're doing it not just to demonstrate. I think at the beginning I was doing it to demonstrate. Now towards the end, like where this season one has come to for me, is that I really am living in this lab, and it's working on me. All of these concepts that we've talked through, They're ones that we've been working on. As you had said so eloquently early on, this was our individualized development plan, this whole season one project. So a lot of the ideas just popped up in ways that I didn't necessarily expect that they would.
Yeah. One of the things that I really love is that the concepts, when we start off and usually I'm like, okay, I have this idea, which sometimes is not a good thing. But we start off with this concept, and as we share our initial thoughts and as we read articles or share things that we've heard or that we've read about it, that each concept, we start in one direction, but by the time the finished recording is put out and I listen to it, I'm always in awe of how it has evolved from moment of conception to the end result. And yeah. I contribute that just to our partnership.
Yeah, I fully agree with that statement. Is there one, or like, what's one episode that like really is top of mind for you on that one?
It's a great question. I think there are so many. I hate to use like the recency bias, right? Mm-hmm. Because I do think the last few ones, talking about courage, talking about adaptability, talking about delegation. I think those concepts, because they're buzzwords or terms that are used quite frequently that we wanted to talk about them, but the manner in which they evolved through our conversation and the objective or point or things that we want people to walk away from. I think, again, just sit back and I'm just like very proud of us.
I'll go back to an early one also. I know I texted you about that earlier this week, the one on beyond the thought trap. So early on, it's interesting because when I tell people about the podcast, they say, oh, this is great. I'll have to go back to the beginning to listen. And I was like, no, you really don't have to because we're not that great in the beginning. And it's okay if you start a little bit later. And so I've been steering people away from the first few episodes. But I went back and listened to a few in preparation for closing out season one. And the Beyond the Thought Trap, that's the one where we talked about the four different types of thinking. That Harvard Business Review article and then Adam Grant's Think Again book and kind of pulled the two together. There's so much in that episode alone that I encourage people to go back and listen to that one. Beyond the Thought Trap, How to Think. And, thinking is a concept I thought I understood. And there's so much inside of this one that I can listen to this episode a few more times to really begin to deep dive. And then that's why I sent you the message of, I think we need to turn this one into a two-day workshop out of that concept alone.
Well, I feel the way that I feel the same way about many of the episodes.
Yes, me too.
Every time I go back and re-listen to one, I'm like, oh, wow, that was powerful. Mm-hmm. And we actually came up with that.
I'm writing notes. I'm like, oh yeah, what was from exactly. my own podcast?
Exactly. So I have thoroughly enjoyed this journey and really do look forward to what season two is going to bring. But as you think about season one, what do you hope listeners take away?
I hope that that they see themselves in some of these conversations, that they begin to get curious about how they show up as a leader. Also, if they have not yet articulated this, how do they want to show up as a leader? Mm. So how do they actually, and how do they want to? And then what's the gap in there? And begin to close that gap. And when I say leader, talking about them in managing people, if they have a team of employees, them as an individual contributor, like leading themselves in their work life, but very importantly, as well as themselves as a parent, how do I show up as a leader for my kids? And how do I want to show up? And then what's that gap? And how do I begin to close that gap? That's what I'm hoping that they take away from it. So how about you?
My hope is that people really do feel invited to grow, not judged, not pressured, but for us to continue to create this space, that there's a sense of discovery and who they are, but who they can be. Because ultimately, right, us helping people be the best version of themselves is the greatest form of feedback. Well, I know we've gotten quite a few messages on LinkedIn that just make me smile of, this is great for my team, or this, I'm using this today. Mm-hmm. This has totally changed my perception on this concept. But would love to hear from you. What's one listener's comment or message that struck you?
I'll go back to an early one. And it's, our friend Ben. So Ben, if you're listening to this episode, thank you very much. Ben, particularly for the first few, I think was such a great demonstration of being a leader through support. And he's worked with us both before. He knows that this was, we were putting ourselves out there to do this. And for the first few, he would text us, here's what I got from listening to this. And it was after the Beyond the Thought Traps. My internal narrative on that one was it was too instructional, too chatty. People aren't going to get anything out of that. And he relayed in a text. It was not a very long text, but he was like, in traffic this morning, I hit this. And he overlaid the four different types of thinking with what he met with the traffic. And so I come back to that one. I'm just struck by how we don't know how these episodes are going to impact people and what they glean from it. And the fact that he shared that and how we shared it. So that to me was just not being very eloquent in my explanation of it, other than just my excitement over how he applied that as an example that I never would have laid that over to, but it was a terrific example of the four different types of thinking, the critical thinking, the strategic thinking, the expert thinking, the systems thinking. This is how it impacted him. And so it got me very excited about then doing the next one. So I don't know if I answered your question. I'm pretty certain I did not answer your question directly, but blathering on about my excitement over.
No, I agree with that. It is always wonderful to read how people apply it or how they plan to or what surfaced for them during listening. And for me personally, my brother is one of our top listeners. He lets me know what episode he's on as he's listening. And this morning had a conversation with him about his favorite episode, which is meeting people where they are. And I think the concept of that and understanding his realization of not just himself in situations, but how that is such an impactful thing that we can do as individuals. And for him to have that light bulb moment really does bring a smile, not just to my face, but to my heart as well, to know that those nuggets are being planted or those seeds are being planted so that we can help anyone as well as ourselves during these conversations.
We share what's impactful to us. And so we think that that's what's going to be impactful to other people. And it's not. There's something else that we felt was just so innocuous or just fine, but it hit them right where they are and what they're dealing with or what their thought patterns were. And so I think that really does speak to the whole journey part of what we're doing and that leadership is not a destination. It really is a journey that you're committing to for life. What I've learned through this season personally has definitely expanded.
Well, if listeners only took one idea from season one, what do you hope it is?
Being curious in everything. You hear a word you think you know, be curious about the true definition of it. Somebody reacts a certain way, be curious about, hey, why did they react that way? It was a surprise for me. Just bring curiosity to everything. How about you? What would you want?
Well, you did steal my words.
Yeah, I figured this much. So I really appreciate you letting me go first on that one.
Yeah. So I think, and I don't want this to sound negative, but I think remembering complacency is actually moving backwards. So I feel like all of our conversations really are about how do we just take that one step forward? How do we, at the end of the day, reflect upon and say, what did I do to get better today? And if we incrementally strive to get better every single day, then we are going to be 10 times better than what we ever imagined that we could be. But if we're complacent, it's not staying status quo. It's actually moving backwards.
That's a powerful one. It makes me think of an analogy that to help reinforce a different way to be, like to not allow the complacency to be. When you're planning a trip, there's going to be challenges on the trip for how do you find the food you need and the activities that you want to do? Are you going to get to transportation at the right time or whatever? And having fun. There's a terrain to the journey that has some challenges and fun. And there's a lot of things that a journey can have with it. Not taking the journey is being complacent. And leadership is really a journey. Much like if you were going to take a hiking trip or something that might have some challenges to it because you're being tested. You see yourself bigger than you thought you could be. It gives you an opportunity to be fully you in that moment, to be tested with whatever those challenges may come up. And on the other side of all journeys, we're never the same person we were at the beginning. And so choosing to take the journey eliminates the possibility of complacency. So it really starts with that choice.
Very well said.
Thank you. I was like, wow. As I was saying that, I was like, wow, yeah, that's actually pretty good. Because when you were talking, I was like, why am I getting this image of a journey and of a trip? And why am I diverting the conversation away from what Jonna was so beautifully creating? And I was like, well, I'm just going to say it anyway. But look where it went.
I think it definitely offers that visual to it. Well, as we come to the end of our time, want to share with everyone that we are heading into a holiday break. We are pausing to refocus. And during this time, we have a long to-do list. We are going to be redesigning the website. We are going to be building content around each episode. We're going to be refining our voice and our purpose, and just maybe an entire episode on video next year? Question mark?
Yes, I say that's beyond a maybe. It's definitely a yes. So we may actually put some of these on video, the ones from this season, but then hopefully next season have all of them on video. And you see a lot of hope and maybe and, you know, no definitive statements in any of that. But hopefully you can hear that the second season has already started to talk to us, to tell us what it wants to turn into. And we want to come back just rested, aligned, and with a deeper perspective on really the next stage of the journey. And what's going to help us do that is to clean up some of the things that we already have in place. Because as you can tell, listening to some of these past episodes, it's really made us realize there's content and assets and things that we really think we can build out of what we already have out there.
So as we are reflecting and doing our work, as those that know me know that I cannot depart without offering maybe homework. So we challenge everyone to reflect, not to rush to fix anything, but to just notice and remember awareness in each act of leadership. So while we're on break, we want you to lead with more intention. So just choose one part of core. Curiosity, openness, reflection, or embrace, and make it your practice for the next few weeks. Just one, not asking for a lot, but just to focus on one. So, Simone, if they were to choose curiosity, what would you have them reflect about?
I would encourage them to just ask one question each week that they normally wouldn't. And the intention for doing that is to help you slow down, look at some things that you maybe didn't know were there, and potentially helps another person expand as well.
And if you choose openness, just be open to what surfaces for you. Listen for those things that maybe you would normally ignore or maybe normally defend, and try letting another person's experience filter into your perspective openly without restraint.
And then if you choose reflection, each week, just ask yourself, what impact did I create? Not what impact did I intend? So really assessing what did you really do versus what you wanted to do.
That's powerful. And lastly, if you choose embrace, identify one piece of your stuff. It's your habit, maybe your inner narrative, maybe it's a fear or an overused strength. And instead of trying to outrun it, trying to fix it, put it in a box, let it teach you something as you embrace what surfaces for you.
During our break, why don't you use this season of a pause to become the next version of yourself, much like we are doing with the podcast.
So with that, thank you for being part of this community. Whether you've listened to every single week as soon as an episode drops, or if you have selected a few to listen here or there, we thank you for listening, learning, and growing with us because you are part of this quest.
We will see you in season two. Until then, stay curious, stay open, and stay in motion.